may get tired of playing that, but I sure don't get tired of hearing it. I was thinking while he was singing, Brother Freddie, that would have been enough. If that's all he ever did. If that night when I bowed up under that old tree in Brother Jay's yard, asked the Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me, if that had just been it. My goodness. But he just keeps on, keeps on, and he keeps on. Let me have a good life, a good wife, good kids, good church, clothes on my back, and food in my belly. As far as I know, no tumors or nothing. I love him tonight. If you want to be, turn into Acts chapter number 2. I'm so full, I don't know if I can preach or not. Yeah, brother, help yourself. I ain't much fit to do nothing.
I'm not going to drink the Holy Spirit, but not. More important, not more important. Most important thing you do is to love something
to die for. Yep. Amen. Amen. Yeah, brother. Welcome home, buddy. We miss you, buddy. We take this place for granted. Well, the Lord didn't have to show up here tonight like he did. If you can't feel his presence, you don't know him. You just flat don't know him. Amen. Did I tell you Acts chapter number 2? I'm a little bit confused now. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. I hope I am. If you weren't in here on Sunday morning, I want to encourage you to get the CD. Amen. Not that it's a great message, but it was a great truth. And we preached on this thought, has God failed to live up to your expectation? Has God failed to live up to your expectation? The Lord showed me in a big way the majority of the trouble that our people have is deep down in their heart, they're mad at God. Deep down in their heart, they're mad at God. Maybe they don't even know it. Maybe they're directing that anger at some person or some incident or something. But when, if he is really, really honest, you're mad because God allowed this or God allowed that. And a lot of times God didn't have anything to do with it. But if you could get that message, I believe it'll help you. Acts chapter number 2, and look with me at verse number 42. I'm excited about our church in a way that I hadn't been in some time. The Lord did something for me. Last week or week before last, he just gave me some light. And a lot of times we spend, I don't know, if I'm afraid maybe I've spent too much time looking for an answer when I should have just been patient and waited on the Lord. The Lord just gave me a little light about something I've been praying about for a long time. And I don't know, there's just an excitement and an enthusiasm in my heart. I believe with all my heart we're probably nowhere near organized as we ought to be. We're probably nowhere near financially set as we ought to be. But I believe we have one of the best churches around. I do. I believe that with all my heart. I don't I know it's not me. It's the grace of God. It's not Brother for Charles. It's not Brother Freddie. I think it's just we're real, and we ain't putting on a false pretense, and we just let God be God. Amen. We ain't trying to impress anybody. We ain't even trying to lure people in who has money. Amen. We just preach, and whoever God sends, that's who He sends. But the Lord's been good over these years to this church. He has been mighty good. He has granted us some grace that we just don't have any idea. I mentioned this the other day. We've never had a major accident with our buses. Never have. We've run over mailboxes, ain't we, Brother Michael, and backed in the buildings, and just normal stuff like that. But never had a major incident. Never had a bus kid get really hurt. Never had any attorneys come after us, try to sue us for this or that. I'm just telling you, you don't hear of that. I'm telling you, God's been good. God's been really good, and I'm going to tell you something else. You've been really good. You've been faithful. And I thank God for you. Amen. I appreciate you with all my heart. You come through in a pinch every time. Somebody really needs help. You come through every time. Love offerings sometimes. Well, what y'all did for Lisa Sanchez when I was going to Montana, it blew my mind, but it shouldn't have. Let me say it again. It blew my mind, but it shouldn't have. I ought to have expected it. Because that's just the kind of people that the Lord's allowed us to pastor, and I thank God for it. But if we continue to see it and take what we have for granted, and we don't realize that we can lose it a whole lot easier than we got it. Do you understand that? I could tell you, Brother Warren grew up in churches in this area. Miss Vanessa did, and my mom, Miss Joyce. We could get some of these ladies that's been around and been in church all their lives. We could name you church after church after church within a shouting distance of where we stand that used to have what we have, and now they're dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What happens to them? What happens to them? I was thinking of some great churches today that I remember going in revival meetings when I was a little kid. And we'd hear great preaching and great singing. I'm talking about see the Spirit of God move. And now it's just a memory. Those places wouldn't know a good meeting if they ran head on into one. They wouldn't know the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost showed up and if somebody got to shouting a little bit Sunday morning, half of them would have a heart attack and pass out on the floor. I'm talking about people who are still there, who were there when it was good. Are y'all listening? That's the kind of folks that call us a cult, who used to worship just like we worship. Here's what I think happened. The Lord told that church in Revelation chapter number 2, He said, I've somewhat against you because you have left your first love. You've left your first love. In other words, you've got your focus in the wrong direction. Some churches are more interested in how much money they got in the bank. Amen. I run into people in this town, tell me I go to such and such church, and before they can get through telling you where they go to church, they got to tell you how much money they got in the bank. That just blows my mind. We got $400,000 in the building fund. I don't give a rip. Are y'all listening? It's easy to get your focus in the wrong direction. And my job, I believe, as a pastor, and Brother Charles and Brother Freddie, our job as we preach and teach in this church is to keep your eyes on the right thing. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I think that's why songs like we have, like Levi just sang, you can't sit there and not think about Jesus. Amen. I'm glad we don't sing them foo-foo songs, our God's an awesome God, all that stuff. I'm thinking about songs that make you think about Jesus Christ and what He did for you at Calvary. Amen. You ain't going to beat that. He did take your place, friend. And don't you ever lose sight of that. Don't you ever get to the place where you think you deserve to have what you have. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve a good church. You deserve hell wide open is all we deserve. If I got what I deserved right now, this floor would open up and the earth would suck me down the middle of it and I'd burn for eternity.
Amen.
And if you got what you deserve, it'd be the exact same thing. Amen. All this other stuff is just extra blessings, man. We better learn to keep our eyes on the Lord. I'm going to look at this early church just for a few minutes tonight. And I want to just kind of, we have most of our leaders in here and our workers and our doers. And I just want you to refocus on some of these things and help working on your own heart. I don't care who you are. I lose focus. Amen. It's easy to lose focus. And Brother Tom comes with the finances and says, Brother Eddie, what about, oh Lord. It's easy, Brother Freddie, to get to where that consumes your mind and that's all you think about. I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me one night, is money all you ever want to talk about?
Amen.
Amen. You ever get somebody, at one of your friends, they get on a hobby horse, and every time you see them, you're like, here we go again. They're going to talk my ear off about golf or about whatever. I mean, that's all they talk about. Nah, 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 nah. And I felt like that's the way the Holy Spirit felt, and I felt like that's what he said to me. Is that all you ever want to talk about is money? I said, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
But that money was screaming the loudest. And it got the majority of my attention. It'll do the same thing in your home. Amen. It will do the same thing in your home. I guarantee you, whatever you're going through, you got more now than you did the day you married. Let me say it again. You got more now than you did the day you were married.
Amen.
When me and Angie got married, we didn't have two nickels rubbed together. We lived in a little duplex in Dallas. Our rent was $80 a month. You could stand in the front door and look out the back door. Three little rooms. Had a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen. Train. It was just as close as this one is out here. First night, I was raised in the country, man. First night back off our honeymoon, I'm laying in that bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, man, I thought it was a rapture, son. I sat straight up in that. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you, man, you got more now than you did. You've been worse off than where you at.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. It's so easy to lose focus. If you'll keep your focus on him, you don't have no trouble focusing on your relationship. Amen. But if you let that bottom line of that checkbook get magnified bigger than he is, are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
How many of you guilty? Oh yeah, been there, brother. I've been there when I couldn't think about nothing else, but how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? You notice all the I in there? How am I? How am I? And the wife says, how are we? What are we? Hey man, what about him? What about him? Hey, listen, he picked me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, and established my going. If he can do that, if I can trust him with eternity, bless God, I can trust him with a house payment. I can trust him with a power bill. I can trust him with a mortgage on the church house. Hey, I just need to keep my mind on him. I guarantee you the night you got saved or the day you got saved, when you went down on your knees and asked for salvation, you wasn't thinking about bills. Come on, can I get a witness? You wasn't thinking about no bills. You wasn't thinking about no bad situation. All you was thinking about was how in the world can I get out of going to hell? Amen. He had your attention then, didn't he? Amen. Let's make sure as a church we don't lose focus. Let's look at the early church just a little bit tonight. I never did read no scripture, did I? Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Keep your Bibles out tonight. The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And by the way, you know what the apostles' doctrine were at this point? It was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You get to listen to these early guys preaching. You know what they preach? They preach Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Amen. They preach Christ and him crucified. I don't think there's enough Christ preaching anymore.
Amen.
We're living in a day. I'm going to get off on a sidetrack or running a rabbit, but maybe you'll have some meat on it. We're living in a day, buddy, when they preach to appeal to the flesh to make you feel better about yourself. Hey, what's Joel Osteen's book? You're bigger, better you. Hey, there ain't no bigger, better you. You a big, fat zero is all you are. Amen.
Amen.
Just a bunch of dirt bags. That's all we are. Ain't no better you. There's a better Jesus. Amen. It's all this positive, positive, positive. Amen. Before you can get positive, you got to get negative. They'll preach the apostles. Doctor, I'd like to see one of them guys get on television and just preach Calvary and preach the blood of Jesus Christ and preach how man's a sinner and needs Jesus. Amen. They have continued in the apostles' doctrine. Hey, if we'll continue in the right doctrine, we'll be all right. Amen. Amen. If we'll keep our doctrine straight. Had a young preacher boy in my church, and I mean was a preacher now. And I grew up with him. We was friends all our life. Brother Charles, I know exactly who I'm talking about. And his family was a little bit, I don't know the right word to say, cuckoo. Little out there, you go, that's nicer. They were just a little out there. You know what I mean? They were always going to the extreme with this, that, and the other. Never had really a balance about it. But he got out and he got into this religion. They moved to another state, remember, Brother Charles? And he came back and I tried to talk with him and I said, Brother, tell me what are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing the same thing you're doing. He said, we just don't preach doctrine. That's what he said. Doing the same thing you're doing, we just don't, well, you ain't doing what I'm doing. The virgin birth is doctrine. Blood atonement is doctrine. Eternal security of the believer is doctrine. Are we okay? If we'll continue in the right doctrine, don't let nobody twist you up with this book right here. Amen. Let me say it again. Don't let anybody twist you up with this book. I can argue with a Latter-day Saint, a Mormon, and win. I can argue with a JW, but I don't. I got better things to do. The chance of you leading one of them to Christ is slim to none. Y'all all right? Getting mighty quiet. Best thing you can do for that crowd is call them a gospel pervert and shut your door in their face. I learned that from my friend, Brother Freddie. Amen. We was out here in the parking lot one day, and two of them little, what they call themselves, elders. Two of them little elders come riding across our parking lot on their huffies. Brother Freddie said, get off this property, you gospel pervert. I said, yeah, I like that. Amen. But anyway, we ought to make sure, listen. Hey, whether you've been called to preach, whether you ever teach a class or not, hey, it'd do you good to get one of them Bible Institute classes under your belt. It'd do you good to be sitting in an adult Sunday school class and get rooted and grounded in that book right there. Amen. People who are rooted and grounded in that book ain't so wishy-washy. Amen. Anyway, I knew I was getting off there. Amen. Look at verse 43. The Bible said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I like that. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to point out some things about this early church. Look at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. I want you to notice they were united around the Savior. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible said, these all continued with one, say it with me, accord. That's not a Honda. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Listen, they went up together and prayed. Listen, they were united around the same thing. And if we'll be united around the same thing, listen, you and I can differ on different things. You say, oh, bless God, I don't think it's right to have a Christmas tree. Don't have a Christmas tree. Y'all okay? Don't have a Christmas tree. I don't care. I'm not going to split hairs over that. But we need to be able to
We need to be able to unite around this one thing, and that one thing's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again. Are you listening? Hey, everybody gets hung up on these isms and schisms, and we got to agree on every little jot and tittle. No, we don't. Amen. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I've heard arrogant preachers preach that His people, you best bless God, line up with what I think. If y'all line up with what I think, we got a church full of nuts. Amen. You ain't got to agree with everything I say. And if you do, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, friend. Are y'all right? You can't talk as much as I talk and not occasionally say something wrong. I mean, I'm human. Chances are, the more you talk, the more likely you are to say something stupid. Amen? The only way you could ever keep from saying something wrong is take a vow of silence. And then you're going to think something wrong. Amen? But if we can stay united around this cause, and that cause is Jesus Christ, if we can stay united around that, you and I'll be worshiping together for a long time. Amen. If we'll keep that main thing the main thing, and that main thing's Jesus, friend, and it's going to be. He's going to be preached in this pulpit. He's going to be preached in Brother Jerry's pulpit. He's going to be preached out there by Brother Thomas. He's going to be preached out there by Brother Allen. Hey, and when we stop preaching Jesus, we stop being a church. Amen. Amen. When we stop preaching Christ and Him crucified, we have lost our franchise. We've lost our franchise. Amen. If McDonald's quits selling Big Macs and goes to selling Stacy's barbecue, you'd make a lot of money. That's right. Your tithes would go up. But you know what McDonald's would do? They would pull their franchise. You know why they'd say? We're McDonald's. We are Big Mac. We're not Stacy's barbecue. We are Mac. The barbecue's good, though. Yeah, it is. But that ain't who we are. We're Big Mac. Are y'all listening? Yeah, but Brother Eddie, a lot of these programs are good. Yeah, they are. But that's not what we are. We are Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They were united around the Savior. They went up together in the hour of prayer. They worshiped together in the house of the Lord. They wept together in trials and suffering. Amen. These people were together. Amen. Can I ask you a question? Are you with me? I'm with you. Amen. I'm with you. I love this church. Amen. And I know more about it than you do. I know the junk in just about everybody's lives. I wish I didn't. Y'all tell me more stuff than I want to know. Amen. I wish I could do a priestly thing and absolve you of sin, but I can't. When you tell me about your sin, all you're doing is just giving me worse stuff I'd think about. Y'all okay? Seriously, man. Some of us have been together a while. We know each other. Amen. I know you. I'm not like Jesus, but I'm going to say this is like Jesus does. I know you and I love you anyway. And most of you know me and you love me anyway. Praise the Lord for that. Let's stay together. Let's stay together. I was watching television a while back, and it was an old movie, and John Wayne was in it, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. But anyway, him and his wife were about to split up, and she said, "Honey, could we not stick it out just for the sake of the children?" Can I say to you, church, can we not stick it out at least for the sake of the children? Can't we stick it out together long enough that we can hand this thing over to them? Are y'all listening to me? Can we not get over our differences enough, at least for them? I'm thinking about the children that are growing up in those churches now that used to be alive and used to thrive and used to see sinners saved, and the Holy Ghost used to move, and they'd sing and they'd shout and they'd worship the Lord. I'm thinking about the kids that are growing up there now. And I don't want this to become that for our children. I've got four grandbabies that's got to grow up in this church. When they're teenagers, I may be dead, but I want this thing to still be hot. I want you to still love each other, and I want our focus to be around the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They were united around the Savior. Acts chapter number 4. I like this. This is a necessity. All of these are a necessity to maintain a thriving church. Every one of these, without one of them, we're messing up. They were united around the Savior. Look at Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 31. The Bible said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the, say it with me, Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now you get full of the word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, you can speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. Amen. That's why there's no boldness in the pulpits in America. That's why we got so many preachers that sound effeminate.
Amen.
Y'all don't dry up on me. It's good to have you here today. Oh, man. That gag a maggot on a gut wagon, man. Amen. Hey, that's the guy that might mess with your kid. Y'all listening? Thank God we got the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. I'm glad when the preacher shows up. Brother, it's time Sunday morning, my soul. I'm just here to tell you, I was full of the Holy Ghost. I love it when he shows up. I love it when I leave here and ain't got a clue what I just said. I'm serious heart attack. I get my messages every now and then. I say, I got to listen to that. I might want to preach that again. Amen. Are y'all listening? They had an unction of the Holy Ghost. Man, we need the Holy Ghost. And we don't need to let that phrase or that title that the Holy Spirit of God has. We do not let the word Holy Ghost bother us. That doesn't make us Pentecostal. It makes us Bible believers. Holy Ghost is a Bible term. It's not a Pentecostal term. It's not a charismatic term. Let me say it again. It's a Bible term. And he is a third of the Godhead. And he's just as much God as God is. And he's just as much God as the Son is. And he's our comforter. And he's the one who walks with us and talks with us day in and day out. We need Holy Ghost filled singing, preaching, praying, teaching. Amen. I used to pray the Holy Ghost be real in my Sunday school class. Amen. That was my pulpit. I wasn't a pastor, man. My Sunday school class, I had about 60, 70 teenagers. That was my congregation, son. I opened that Bible every Sunday morning. I prayed the Holy Ghost. Man, we give altar call in Sunday school. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You get a little preach on you. Somebody said, well, it's teaching time. It's whatever the Holy Ghost time says it is. Amen. Amen. Do you ever get in class, Brother Freddie? The Lord shows up. And it turns out to be something other than what you thought it was going to be. And all you know is when you're done was, boy, that was good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Listen, man, we can preach. We can preach. You can buy high dollar outlines on the internet. Are you listening? Preachers don't study no more. Man, we need the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit. We don't need more education. We need more unction. Amen. I can preach the greatest sermon in the world, but if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't speak to hearts, it's going nowhere. I need the Spirit of God to be real, and that's what we ought to pray before every service. Oh, God, fill the preacher, but God, fill the pew. Stir in the hearts. God, do the drawing. Lord, we're going to lift you up. You can mark her down. We're not coming in here and not going to lift you up. And you said if you be lifted up, you would draw men unto you. I'm lifting as hard as I can. Lord, start drawing. I need to make sure I'm not a hindrance to the Holy Spirit. I need to make sure the Bible doesn't say hinder. It says quench. That means to cover up or to put out. I don't want to be a hindrance to the Holy Ghost. I want to walk up in this pulpit, Brother Freddie, and best I can, have my heart right.
Amen.
Amen. Make sure there ain't no anger, no bitterness, ain't no sin. It's fessed up.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to walk in here and sit in the pew that way.
Right.
Amen.
Don't wait till an altar call to get right with God. Those of you who are faithful members here, get right before you come. Get right before you come, man. I mean, you can whisper prayer all the way to church. Oh, Lord, God, forgive me of this and forgive me of that. Lord, don't let me be a hindrance to the Holy Spirit. Don't let it be my fault somebody dies and goes to hell Sunday morning. Amen. They were united around the Savior. They had an unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit shows up in several ways. And I'm not going to go into all this. I'll just throw out a couple right quick. Sometimes it's a small, still voice. Holy Ghost, just because people ain't shouting don't mean the Holy Spirit's not whispering. Amen. And sometimes it is a mighty rushing wind. I like them both. Amen. Are you listening? Tonight while Levi was singing, and it was just a small, still voice. It sure was sweet. It sure was sweet. I love it when it gets on, Legina gets happy, and Tommy runs a lap, and I like that. I'm for it. I'll fan, I see smoke, I'll fan the fire, amen. I'll throw gas on it. I like it. I hope it gets plumb out of the banks Friday night in this youth meeting. Stir the hearts of our young people. Amen. But I don't care in what magnitude he shows up, as long as he's here. As long as he's here. And I know he's here because he's in my heart. And if you're saved, he's in your heart. But I want him to be more than here. I want him to manifest himself. Amen. Holy Ghost will manifest himself in praise. He'll manifest himself in worship. He'll manifest himself in conviction. Amen. Man, when you're sitting there and your heart starts thumping, you'll do something about it. Well, I'll pray when I get home. Bet you a dollar you don't. Bet you a dollar you don't. I'll get this settled. I'll get this right before I go to bed tonight. No, you won't.
Right.
If you won't do it now, you won't do it then. If you won't do it while the Holy Spirit's wooing you and drawing you, you won't do it any other time.
Yes.
Amen. They had a unity around the Savior. They had the unction of the Holy Ghost. Listen, they were undertaking to reach lost souls. They were undertaking to reach lost souls. Look at Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They done got beat. They done got jailed. They done been whooped. And they turned them loose. And what they do? They didn't cease. They just kept on. What is this about? Reaching lost people. Reaching lost people. You say it's kind of a gimmick. Well, whatever you want to call it. Hey, do your neighbors need Jesus? If you don't tell them in your neighborhood, who's going to? Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. If we ever stop trying to reach souls for Christ, we're done. We're done. If some jackleg ever comes in here and says, well, I think what we ought to do, we're spending entirely too much money, we ought to stop running those buses. No. No. That'd be like taking that new pistol shirt church bought me and shooting myself right in the foot with it. It'd cripple us. I know churches, when they were trying to build a church, they had a bus ministry. They built a church. They built a big church and then sold the buses. One of the greatest churches in this area did that very thing. I ain't talking about a liberal church. I'm talking about a great church. I'm talking about a strong church. Rode by there one day, buses for sale. I called the preacher. I said, did y'all get some new buses? He said, no. We're out of the bus ministry. I thought, wow. I don't ever want that to happen here. If you drive by here and there's a bus with a for sale sign on it, it's because we got a new one coming. Are you listening? It's because we got a new one coming. I can close my eyes real tight and I can see them pointed nose, buses with them dark windows. I can see them, Brother Fred. I can see them sitting out there, brother. No, we're not going to stop outreach. We can put clothes on people that don't have clothes. We can put food in somebody's belly that ain't had nothing to eat. But if we're not giving them Jesus Christ, we're cheating them. We are cheating them. My wife is excited. I met a missionary, and I can't remember his name. I got his card. He's a doctor. And all he does, Miss Jennifer and Lisa, where'd she go? All he does is he takes medical mission trips. But on every trip, he takes preachers with him. When he goes, they do eyeglasses. They do all kind of shots and vaccinations. And he takes nurses, and he'll take a team, and he'll go into a village, wherever. You pick the place. And he say, you pick the place and the time, we'll go. And but then, buddy, when they come in, they give them the gospel. Amen. They have service and they preach to them. I'm for the medical thing. I'm for the feeding the hungry people. Hey, but if all we're doing is getting them physically well, we are damning their soul to hell. Amen. Brother, this was man, people were getting saved every day. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People were getting saved daily. This wasn't a Sunday thing for these guys. Man, this was life, man. Are you listening? What they had was so good, they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to share it. I'm begging you. Don't let this slip by your mind. Invite your neighbor. Amen. Let me say it again. Invite your neighbor. Some of you probably got neighbors you don't get along with. Invite them too. Amen. That and it throws beer cans in your yard, invite him too.
Amen.
They were undertaken to reach the lost. Let me give you another one. Y'all still okay? Acts chapter number 4. Y'all ain't going to like this one. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Listen, look at verse number 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Are you listening to what they did? And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Wow. They were unselfish with material belongings. They were unselfish with material belongings. In other words, here was their attitude, Brother Charles. Brother Charles, if I have it, you have it. That was their attitude, I believe, Brother Freddie. Yes, it's mine, but if you need it, it's there. Oh, you need a truck? No problem. You need a trailer? No problem. You need a lawnmower? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
They took care of one another. They took care of one another. They brought what they had and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, y'all divvy it up. Take care of everybody's needs. Isn't that something? That sounds kind of like a love offering to y'all. Sounds a lot like a love offering to me. I had one of these days, I'm going to be able to tell this finance company what they can do with this mortgage. The guy's pestering me to death. Here's what he told me. When he'd done this last audit, he called and he said, I see all these love gifts. He said, what is that? I said, it's exactly that. He said, what is that? I said, well, somebody needs power bill paid. Somebody's got their water cut off. Somebody ain't got no groceries. Somebody's finna lose a vehicle. We take up a love offering and help. He said, no, you need a benevolence fund for that. I said, no, a fund is no fun.
Amen.
Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
I love being able to present a need.
Amen.
Amen. He said, well, they should have to come before a committee. They did. They came to me.
Amen.
Or they came to Brother Freddie. They came to Brother Charles. Y'all all right?
Yes.
Maybe that's old school, but I like it when we get to come together. We presented a need to you last Sunday, Sunday before last when I was gone. Sister Lisa was hurting really, really bad. And you knew what the... Sometimes people want me to keep it confident. But I like it when I can tell who it is and what's wrong. Amen. I wouldn't be ashamed. I may need a love offering for long. I'll let you know. But I wouldn't be ashamed. Brother Charles or Brother Freddie, whoever did it, was able to tell what the situation was. Do you know how much that check was my mama took her? $900 and something. Out of this crowd. Out of all y'all broke people. Ain't nobody sitting in here eat up with it. Not one. I don't believe there ain't nobody in this church makes $100,000 a year. Except Brother Warren. Now seriously, there ain't no money in here. But you let a bunch of poor people that love each other see where there's a need and there's a cause, buddy, wham! I'm not fussing at you tonight. I'm saying don't change. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Some of y'all gave on that offering last Sunday and you didn't have it to give. You gave sacrificially. I bet if I'd let you testify about it, the Lord's blessed you and took care of you. Amen. I always try to give the most when I have the least. Y'all all right? They were unselfish with their material belongings. Now listen, there's going to come a day, and I don't know how soon that day may be. We're either, something's going to be built here, or we're building something somewhere else. And we're not going to dead up to here. Ever again. Not above our heads. No, sir. You know who's going to do that? We are. Well, it got quiet. We are. We've been outgrown this sanctuary for a long time. I'm excited about the new paint and the new carpet coming next week. I'm fired up. But this thing ain't big enough. And I'm not a two-service on Sunday morning preacher. I just, me and Levi talked about that yesterday. I ain't. If we got to have an early service, a contemporary and a traditional, you can have the contemporary. Amen. Can't y'all see Brother Freddie? Come on now. Yeah. A snowball got a better chance in Hades than that, ain't it, brother? Amen. They were unselfish with their belongings. I think I'm done preaching. Behave, boys, behave. Seriously, let's help each other to keep our focus where it ought to be. Keep our eyes in the right place. I am so thankful that the Lord lets me see somebody saved on a regular basis. Amen. That stays fresh in my mind. There's a lot of things involved in the ministry. Weddings. Brother Charles got a wedding this weekend. Funerals. Counseling. I mean, just on and on. Sickness. Hospitals. But there's one part of the ministry that never gets old. Never gets tiring. And that's seeing people born again. It never gets old. Let me tell you something. If we lose that focus and we go for a period of time without seeing anybody saved, I'm here to tell you, it's dying. When we're not seeing people saved on a regular basis, we're dying. Churches don't understand that anymore. They're all interested in people joining. And that's fine too. But I want to see sinners saved. All this church member swapping ain't getting nobody nowhere. And that's all this crowd around here does. I grew up with it all my life. I can spot them when they come through the door. I can. Some of them I know because I've been in 7 or 8 of the churches they belong to. That's true. Now listen, the ones the Lord sends, I've quit chasing after people a long time ago. I used to do that. Boy, somebody come in, look like they might have a little money. Oh, boy, I'm shaking their hand. I quit that politicking.
Amen.
Amen. Instead of sending one rich person, the Lord can send me four poor people to do the same job that one rich man did. Are y'all listening? I quit worrying about all that stuff, just as long as He's sending them.
Amen.
I want to see them saved. I would love it. I'd love it if we saw somebody saved every service, Brother Freddie. That'd suit me. It'd suit me if we had to put a filter and a chlorinator on that baptistry and keep that thing full.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And just baptize every service. That'd tickle me to
death.
Amen. Amen. If that's all that ever happened around here, whoopee. I believe the Lord would be happy about it too. But let's keep our focus. Let's keep our unity around Him. We're going to disagree. We're going to let each other down. We are. There's been some of you been upset with me because I wasn't there when a baby was born. I know, I'm sorry. But I love you. There came the whole world rolling down the aisle. He's got the whole world in His hand. It's a little globe in case anybody was wondering. Let's keep unified around our Savior and our cause. Amen. Let's understand that nothing's bigger than that. Nothing's bigger than that. I'm talking about a hurt feeling. Somebody said something about you on Facebook. It's not bigger than people being saved. Let's not be selfish with what we have. Let's stay in the right doctrine. Amen. I worry about these people. I should keep my mouth shut. Anyway, there's a family visited our church a few weeks ago. And this cat kept wanting to talk to me. I knew what he wanted. I avoided it like the plague.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't got time, man. I got people that's hurting. I got people that needs help. I'm not going to stand here and argue you over speaking in tongues. I ain't going to do it. It's not my cup of tea. You want to jabber, do it somewhere else. Amen. Let's stand on our feet tonight. I'm just rambling. I love you, church. Hey, it's been good around here. It's been mighty good. I believe it's going to get gooder. Amen. What was it, old Uncle Bud Robertson, the old Nazarene evangelist years and years ago? He was hair-lipped. What was it he said? Said, just like sugar, it get tweeter and tweeter. Something like that. Yeah, it got tweeter and tweeter till it turned to sugar. That's what it was. Amen. Amen. Y'all come get you a prayer sheet. Please remember, what time's your surgery tomorrow, Tanner? You know? 10:30? Boy, let's be remembering that in the morning. Let's pray that goes well. Amen.